The first congregation that I served after fulfilling all the requirements for the UU ministry was the Unitarian Universalist Fellowship of Central Michigan, located in Mount Pleasant, Michigan. I began serving them in August of 2013. This is my 10th August with the Saratoga Springs congregation. They are a small congregation there in Michigan of about 70 members, smack in the middle of the Michigan Mitten, which is way further north than you'd think, and at least 30 miles from anywhere. That August, there were several things happening to mark the 50th anniversary of the March on Washington for Jobs and Freedom. One thing that was going on around religious communities was a call for churches and places of worship to ring their bells at 3 o'clock. That's when the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. began his speech, I Have a Dream, the speech that we've come to know as I Have a Dream. The UU Fellowship in Michigan uses what used to be a Christian Scientist church, and it lacks a bell or a belfry to ring bells from, but that didn't hold us back. I got people together on the steps outside the building, and with great enthusiasm, people rang bells and banged on pots and pans that they brought from home, and boy, it was a joyful noise. And there we are. That's us ringing the pots and pans on the front steps of the UU Fellowship of Central Michigan. I Have a Dream is the most famous speech that I can think of, up there with the Gettysburg Address. In previous years, when I've talked about the Reverend Dr. King's speech, I have tended to try to shift people's attention away from the end of the speech, where King breaks into the I Have a Dream part, and toward the beginning of the speech, where King enumerates how badly America has, quote, defaulted on this promissory note of freedom and prosperity, insofar as her citizens of color are concerned. This part of the speech is not as easy to hear or as uplifting as the I Have a Dream Today refrain, especially for white people and for those for whom the status quo is working out just fine. I confess that there is also a sort of cynical, self-satisfied snobbery in me that discounts the I Have a Dream part as a bit sentimental and pie in the sky, and because it's part of the speech that gets quoted and used by people who actively oppose civil rights and affirmative action. But I shouldn't give in to surrendering my skill for dreaming or for loving. The great dreamer of worlds, Ursula K. Le Guin, once told the writer and activist Adrian Marie Brown, "It is through imagination that we think intelligently about what we've done, are doing, and should do. If we cannot dream or imagine well, we will be in trouble. We will be less free, less loving, less whole." I am somewhat comforted in the fact that I'm a bit of a snob, in that I'm joined in it by John Lennon. How's that for a transition? There's a few more coming just like that, so hold on. John Lennon, of the beloved yet controversial song Imagine, I learned via the great source of all knowledge and wisdom, Wikipedia, that Lennon describes Imagine as, quote, anti-religious, anti-nationalistic, anti-conventional, anti-capitalistic, but because it is sugar-coated, it is accepted. Now I understand what you have to do, Lennon says. Put your political message across with a little honey. In an open letter to Paul McCartney, Lennon describes his song Imagine as, quote, working class hero with sugar on it for conservatives like yourself. In case you didn't know it, the other song that Lennon is mentioning there, Working Class Hero, that's a song that is on the 1970 John Lennon Plastic Ono Band album. It is a working class screed against the powers that be, and just John Lennon singing his voice and his guitar, that's it. straight up screed sort of song. It's kind of basically Working Class Hero is John Lennon's Rich Men North of Richmond. Have you heard of this viral phenomenon and out of nowhere number one hit song, Rich Men North of Richmond, by sudden sensation Oliver Anthony? Anthony seems like a real sincere guy who tries to care about people. In a recent YouTube post, he laments how, quote, we've really let ourselves focus too much on hate in this country. And he celebrates how through the response to his song, he has seen, quote, this positivity, this unity like I've never seen before. And he sees folks thinking about, quote, what are the next steps to make life better for people? And what can you do for your neighbor? But Anthony's song's lyrics and imagination seem a bit boxed up and limited. He's aggravated by the political response to his song, but he did give permission for his song to be played at the recent Republican presidential debate, and the loudest voices celebrating the song are the loudest far-right voices of today. Anthony is a little bemused at this. He says, quote, it was funny seeing the presidential debate. I wrote that song about those people on the stage. Anthony says, quote, it's aggravating seeing people on conservative news trying to identify with me like I'm one of them. I see the right trying to characterize me as one of their own, and I see the left trying to discredit me. Anthony proclaims that folks on the left are, quote, misinterpreting his lyrics as being attacks on the poor when he said he was trying to defend them. In a Facebook post, Anthony says of himself, there's nothing special about me. I'm not a good musician. I'm not a very good person. I spent the last 5 years struggling with mental health and using alcohol to drown it. And I think you got to have a lot of sympathy for that. A lot of sympathy for someone who's in that situation, that kind of struggle that Anthony is in. But Anthony is running into a couple of things. One is that when you put something out into the world, you can't really control how people are going to take it or what they're going to do with it or about it. The other is that while he may profess sympathy for poor people, the images and metaphors that he uses in the song, the language and vocabulary of the song, is limited in its ability to imagine. The song's lyrics fail to step outside of the stereotypical and racist imagery of the Reagan campaigns. Instead of, for example, worrying about the health problems that poverty puts on people, the song complains about paying taxes that support, quote, the obese milk and welfare. It's hard to read that line as defending the poor, as much as Anthony wants to say that that's what he's doing. The punk and folk songwriter Billy Bragg describes Anthony's situations pretty graciously. He says in an interview, quote, once you've written a song and put it out there, you have to kind of accept the way people respond to it. You can't guarantee that people are going to exactly get what you're going on about. They're going to hear the bit they want to hear. So if you want to hear the bit about Jeffrey Epstein that's in the song, if you just want to hear the bit about the obese milking welfare, it's very easy to just zoom in on that part of the song. As a songwriter, you have to be really careful you're not giving an obvious hook to people like that, that you're making sure that when you craft a song, the lyrics can't be separated from the context. I think he's struggling, Bragg says, as we all are, to make sense of a world in which it's really hard to find compassion and empathy. He feels he's writing a song about compassion for these poor, downtrodden people. It's just he unfortunately lashes out at other downtrodden people. And then you're forced to ask yourself, well, what are his real motives here? Does he really care about downtrodden people? Or does he care about certain downtrodden people? Slimmed down people at least 5.5 feet tall who don't have a sweet tooth. Just in the way that Anthony is aggravated about the political response to his song, John Lennon was a bit annoyed at how people responded to his song Imagine, at least some of them. He was especially concerned about the way people took the line in it that asks us to imagine a world with no religion, too. Lennon wrote his song using ideas and imageries that he got from the poetry of Yoko Ono, and a book on Christian prayer that the comedian Dick Gregory gave to him. He was interested in, quote, the concept of positive prayer. If you can imagine a world at peace, with no denominations of religion, not without religion, but without this my God is bigger than your God thing, then it can be true, if you can imagine it. The World Church once called me, he says, and asked, can we use the lyrics to Imagine and just change it to imagine one religion? That showed me they didn't understand it at all. It would defeat the whole purpose of the song, the whole idea. It's hard for his song to talk about no religion and Lennon wanting it to be about having religion without this my God is bigger than your God thing. But the rest of Lennon's song is pretty clear and consistent. Imagine all the people sharing all the world. It's a song pretty consistently pointing us in the direction of hope and possibility. I'm sure that folks offered to help Lennon out with his songwriting in the ways that they thought he was limited. When Billy Bragg heard Anthony's song, Billy Bragg said, quote, the ghost of Woody Guthrie has been whispering in my ear. Help that guy out, Woody keeps telling me. So Billy Bragg wrote a song in response to Anthony's song. Billy Bragg's song is called Rich Men Earning North of a Million. Anthony's song starts off with a well-phrased working-class lament of long hours and low pay and how he, quote, wishes I could wake up and it not be true. Billy Bragg starts with Anthony's words, but then he heads in a different direction. Billy Bragg's song goes something like, if you're selling your soul, working all day, overtime hours for bull pay, nothing's gonna change if all you do is wish you could wake up and it not be true. Join a union. Fight for better pay. Join a union. Organize today. Billy Bragg explains, writing from the experience that he had rooted in a coal miners' strike in England in 1984. If you form a union, you'll soon find that working people are all of one kind, so we ain't gonna punch down on those who need a bit of understanding and some solidarity. That ain't right, friend. We need imaginations that can stretch our compassion beyond our own experience to the experience of others. Anthony's song, as it is written, stays in a kind of Reagan to QAnon box of imagination and metaphor and ends up, I think, just reinforcing the status quo that Anthony is lamenting. Bragg's rewrite uses a really pragmatic, compassionate imagination to imagine a way toward change. If our imagination is what enables us to think intelligently about what we're doing, as Ursula K. Le Guin says, we need imagining that can break out of confining boxes and find more possibility. I hope Anthony can lean into his instinct for compassion and grow his imaginings. The imagination of Lennon's Imagine might be limited in that it does not take a pragmatic approach toward change, and that's something that people on the left have criticized that song for. But what the song's lyrics do lean into is how important imagining or dreaming is. Lennon wants us to confront the ways in which our imaginings and dreamings may be limited. He sings, imagine no possessions. I wonder if you can. and kind of throws down the gauntlet before us. What are the limits of your imagining? Could you grow your imagining? And we need that challenge. When Martin Luther King gave his speech, he was also throwing down the gauntlet, challenging us to confront the limits of our imaginings. I have a dream that one day down in Alabama, with its vicious racists, with its governor having his lips dripping with the words of interposition and nullification, one day right down in Alabama, little black boys and black girls will be able to join hands with little white boys and white girls as sisters and brothers. I have a dream today. And hearing King's words, we might hear how, when it comes to gender identity, his imagining is stuck inside a box of either or. But it's also clear that getting out of such a box would be something that King would be committed to, because that's what the words are pointing to. The words are pointing to getting us out of one box after another box of limited imagining. If we can imagine well, if we can imagine well together as a community, what we imagine can happen. This power of imagining and dreaming, King calls that faith. He calls that his faith. And he says, with this faith, we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair a stone of hope. With this faith, we will be able to work together, to pray together, to struggle together, to go to jail together, to stand up for freedom together, knowing that we will be free one day. We need to encourage one another's imagining and dreaming, and we need to join together in such bravely compassionate imagining. If we can do that together, dream together, then change is going to come. If we can together imagine a world and a community of peace and acceptance and openness, we can make it happen. And this is what the upcoming Next Steps weekend is about, on September 8th through 9th for this congregation, joining our dreaming together so that our dreams might become reality. Let us not be afraid to dream and to imagine. If we don't have bells, we can dream our pots and pans into bells and ring them, and what fun that would be. If you're still stuck in the progressive pragmatism box, like I get sometimes, remember the words of UU ancestor Henry David Thoreau at the end of his book Walden. He writes, "I learned this, at least by my experiment, that if one advances confidently in the direction of their dreams and endeavors to live the dream which you have imagined, you'll be met with a success unexpected in common hours. You will put some things behind, pass an invisible boundary. New, universal, and more liberal laws will begin to establish themselves around and within you. Or the old laws will be expanded, interpreted in your favor in a more liberal sense, and you will live with the license of a higher order of being. In proportion as you simplify your life, the laws of the universe will appear less complex, and solitude will not be solitude, nor poverty poverty, nor weakness weakness. If you have built castles in the air, your work need not be lost. That is where they should be. Now put the foundations under them. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us, and the world will be as one. May we join together in our dreaming. May we break out of the boxes of restricted imagining and let our imaginations grow into the imagination that is required by beloved community. If we do that together, we can make it happen. May it be so.